9:30 a.m. on Wednesday, January 31st, 2007. And I'm here in the Port Authority bus terminal, in a part of the bus terminal that I've never been in before. This is very strange. This is the 300 gates. I feel like I'm in an alternate reality right now. I've never been in this part. I mean, I know where the entrance to this part is, but I've never had a bus that came through here. Like, the numbers, like the 323, 324, are like glowing orange. And by every gate, there's this like weird old black and white picture of the bus terminal. There's like a Hudson newsstand up here. There's actually alternate bathrooms up here. I really feel like I'm in an alternate world. This is really bizarre, like the red brick. This is really strange. So I'll talk to you how I wound up here and what's going on. This is shaping up to be perhaps a very interesting day, this January 31st of 2007. I'm walking down now. I think once I get down here, I'll know exactly where I am, but this is very strange. Anyway, where do we begin? Well, of course, today is the last day of the month, so this is normally a good time to get the new monthly bus pass. So let me take a look here. My monthly bus pass is $111, which actually, you know, may seem like a lot, but actually in the scheme of things, that's actually not too bad for a monthly transit pass. But it's $111, and with that, you get unlimited transportation on your bus, on my bus from where I live in northern New Jersey to New York City. So, I mean, I've had times where I know that back when I lived down in Plainsboro, which is down by Princeton, New Jersey, the train pass was like $250 a month. And even when I lived across town from where I live now, the monthly was significantly higher. It was, I don't know, like $150, $160 or something like that. So it's not too bad. So the question is, will I be buying a monthly pass today? Because normally I would have just bought it just now. I was in the bus terminal, I would have bought it, but I'm not buying it. So we'll see what's going on here. So let me tell you what's going on. Basically, you know, I have this job. I work in advertising over on 3rd Avenue. And it's been a job. Now let me give you my job history since I started the Overnightscape. When I first started the Overnightscape back in March of 2003, by the way, I'm here in New York City now. I'm out on 42nd Street. It's cold. It's a cold winter's day. Here, this guy just handed me something. How toxic are you? Hey, Scientology. Whoop-de-doo. Yeah, these guys. They have these guys handing out Scientology literature all over the place. Anyway, when I first started the Overnightscape, I worked at Scholastic Books downtown Manhattan. Great location, Broadway and Prince Street. If you know that area, let me throw away this stupid flyer here. Goodbye. If you know the area, Broadway and Prince, beautiful. That is the, like, the heart of Soho. Beautiful area, great stuff going on. Close to Chinatown, close to everything. And a few months into doing the Overnightscape, I think it was around May, I got laid off. I had the job for over 2 years, not quite 2.5 years, somewhere in, you know, two years and 3 months, 2 years and 4 months, something like that, and got laid off, and that was a company-wide layoff that I got caught up in, and it was very upsetting, because, you know, it's never fun to be unemployed, and, you know, I've never been able to keep a job for that long, whatever reason. I either screw it up, or the company's, like, whatever, it has problems with layoffs. I've had so many jobs at this point. Anyway, that was a time when I was unemployed for a while. And was collecting unemployment on that 2003. And started to really get worried, because I think the economy was pretty bad back then. And started really getting worried, like, what the hell am I going to do with my life? I don't know. Then I found that this place I'm at now. It's an ad agency on 3rd Avenue. And I started working there as a freelance, you know, not a full-time employee, but just a freelancer. But it was very steady work. And the thing was, since it wasn't a real job, there was no benefits, there was no security or anything like that. So I figured, I kept looking, and I found another job. And I was right at the start of 2004 that I started this other job on Madison Avenue. Now, you know, I'm not naming these places. They're not these giant, like Scholastic's like a giant mega corporation. I don't want to name these companies. I've never actually, I've never said the names of these companies or identified them in any way. Because, you got to keep the show and the work life, sort of separate and stuff. But the place on Madison was was absolutely the worst job I ever had. But also the best in some ways. It was really interesting because I got to, as you've heard on the show way back then, I got to go on, fly, business travel, flying to these different manufacturing plants. And it was very interesting, very cool job. But at the same time, the place had just had these massive layoffs. So I came in after the layoffs. They had about 350 employees, and they had just axed 300 of them. Right? We're talking, that's a pretty big layoff. So in the aftermath, that's when I got in there, and it just wasn't a good situation. And also, I don't know, the whole thing was just a bad scene. And I lasted there about 5. Sorry, I just accidentally turned off the recorder. It's getting kind of cold out here. I'm trying to see if I can bundle up here. Hold on a second. Hold on. All right, we have these guerrilla marketers, girls dressed up in red coats with stop signs. So I want to see what they have. I'm very curious now. They have black bags with like a red symbol on it. Hey, what are you handing out here? Thank you.
Love your heart. Go on the website and get your heart checked out.
Okay, great. Stop heart disease in women. Go red. They're not very aggressive. Like, they're everywhere. Look at that. There's like so many of them. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are like a million of them here in Times Square. To stop, go red for women, heart disease. It's freezing. It is freezing. I didn't have a chance to bundle up because I saw those marketers. So, all right, hold on. This is getting extreme. I have to pause for a moment to zip up my coat and get some. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Oh my goodness, it is freezing out here. I mean, I don't even. I can't. I'm trying to put my gloves on here. It is so cold. Normally on a day like this, I would have taken the subway, but I wanted to have this little chat with you. So. So anyway. I guess you sort of see where this is leading and the direction it's leading. I'm talking about my jobs and stuff. But anyway. Yeah, so 2004, again, around May or June, I'm out. This was not a layoff. I was fired, okay? I was blatantly fired. And I talked all about that in the show. And at that point, I was only unemployed for a few weeks, really, and then I wound up going back to that place on 3rd Avenue, right? They took me back. It was great. I mean, I didn't leave on bad terms. I just said, look, I need benefits, I need health insurance, whatever. They took me back, of course, still as a freelancer, still whatever. And that was about 2.5 years ago now, right? So I've been at this place for about 2.5 years, and it's been a good job. It's been quite a good job, and... Of course, have some great friends there, such as I've always talked about Dave from work, and I don't think that's his name anymore. Basically, what's been going on? The advertising business is something where you need to get jobs, you need to get work, you need to get from your clients, you get different things to do, you get jobs, you make an advertisement, right? You go through the process, you make it, then you bill them and everything. Well. This place has been getting a bit slow. What is going on? There's a bus on the sidewalk almost and backing up. This is total chaos today. It is so cold out here. I can't even describe it. Okay, anyway. The place I'm at now has been getting pretty slow, right? And a lot of places that I've worked, you get to see, sometimes you're so busy, you got tons of work coming in, sometimes you're slow. But at this point, they're really slow. And... we've been aware of this for a couple months now. Things have been slowing down, and all of us workers, especially as freelancers, we aren't real employees, whatever, we're hourly employees or freelancers, have of course been wondering about this. And yesterday the inevitable, I suppose, happened, and Dave from work, my good friend Dave, was essentially laid off. He was told, look, more of these girls in red coats. There's so many of them. Wow. Out here in front of the Virgin Megastore. Oh, it's cold out here. I don't keep saying it, but I'm freezing my ass off out here. Anyway, yes, Dave essentially was laid off. Basically, he was told, you know, because it's a free... It's something where it's full-time. So even if there's no work, we're full-time freelancers. We can come in even if there's no work, we still get paid. But, oh, look, I'm walking by the Charmin restrooms, the defunct Charmin restrooms. Anyway, so, yes, Dave was essentially laid off. They basically said, look, you know, there's nothing for you to do. So, you know, if you want to call in, if we got something, we'll let you in. But, you know, ultimately, it really was the thing we've all been dreading. And it just happened at the very end of the day last night. And I left with Dave. We talked all the way back. And so it is a layoff. I mean, you know, and I mean, the term layoff can mean, you know, something from, you know, you're sort of separated from the company for good. Like when I was laid off from Scholastic, I was never asked to come back. But this is something that, yes, there is a possibility that, you know, Dave could come back, certainly. But, you know, he's not going to be making any money. He's sort of out of a job, at least for now. You know, they could call him back in 2 days, theoretically, but that's probably not going to happen. I would think it's probably going to be more of a long-term thing. So that was quite shocking. It happened really quickly. We weren't expecting it to happen so fast. We thought we had a few more weeks. So, and he was the first guy and the only guy so far that I know of to get laid off from this place. And of course, it's not the end of the world. There's other jobs out there, obviously. It's just, it was a nice place to work. Me and Dave were good friends there. And we moved into a new room. We were sitting together just for a few weeks. So it was something that, it was just kind of shocking. And this is this has happened last night. And I left with him, so I haven't even been there yet. I'm heading towards work now. I haven't even been there yet in this sort of post, you know, now we're in the layoff era of this place. So, anyway, I kind of think that this is sort of why I'm recording this. I just want to record it, because so far, this day has been a crazy day, and I'll tell you more about what happened earlier this morning. I think that there's a decent chance, it's not necessarily going to happen, but I think there's a decent chance that this might be my last day as well. You try to think about, you know, the different, you know, what's going on, but if they laid off Dave, it's not like I have a whole heck of a lot to do there. I mean, I do have one job I'm working on right now, but it doesn't guarantee anything. So I'm recording this because if this does turn out to be that day, it would be interesting to sort of see. I'm sort of anticipating it, but then again, I might be able to last a few more weeks. I personally am not... I don't have much hope that this is going to last much longer than a couple more weeks, which is bad. Because also, right now, I'm starting with this new Anything But Monday project, which is really becoming a huge project and a real thing, something that could potentially make money. So, all sorts of crap's going on. Also tonight, I have my podcast meeting, right? I printed out new business cards last night. I'm all ready for the podcasting meeting. You know, it's a New York City meetup group for podcasting. So, that's why I don't know if I should get my monthly ticket. I mean, obviously, I'm going to wait till tonight to see if I still have a job. To see if I'm going to get my monthly ticket. And then, whatever. I mean, I'm just going to buy it, whatever. I mean, $111 bucks, whatever. Hopefully, I'll be able to use it. It sucks, though, this sense of uncertainty. But like I said, I've been here many times before. I've had so many different jobs and lost jobs in so many different ways. It's just unfortunate because I really like this job a lot. And I like the people. I like the place. And like I said, even if today I do lose the job, I could. It's something that it's possible I could go back in the future or whatever, if I don't have anything else. So I was planning on recording anyway. And this morning, I don't know what the hell happened. Overnight, there was a bit of snow. You know, like last night, you know, yesterday evening, there was a bit of snow. Almost nothing. It was minor. It was like not even an inch, a couple centimeters of snow, right? Very minor snow event. But somehow that always screws up the traffic. I don't know what happened. So I go to the bus. I got there. I get to the bus stop like pretty early, like around 8 o'clock, 8:05, something like that. Have to wait a while for the bus. But not too bad. Like by 8:15, the bus comes. And I don't know what happened. The bus was moving so slow. Okay. I was listening to the iPod and kind of thinking about all this crap, and I opened my eyes and we've gone like a couple blocks. You know, it's like ridiculous. So I guess there's just been major traffic problems today. So the bus goes, you know, through Lyndhurst and then, you know, down by, you know, like the medieval times area, whatever. And then when it gets to go on the main highway, it veers off and goes on Route 17, right? So now we're on Route 17. We're going north. We're going past like the Lowe's Home Improvement, which was, you know, when I moved earlier last year, I was at Lowe's like every other day. We'd go past the Lowe's, going way up, all these detours, all these back roads. It was ridiculous. So then, you know, we get back to the highway, we get back to the bus lanes, and then there's more traffic, it's all backed up. So by the time we finally got into the bus terminal, it was like, I don't know, it was like 9:30 or something. So it was like, it was like an really, really long. This bus ride usually should be like 45 minutes. So it was like an hour, hour and a half almost. Hour, 45 minutes. And then when it gets into bus terminal, it starts going in all these weird corridors, like driving through all these weird, unfamiliar places. And that's how I got to the, you know, that's how I got to the 300 gates. And like when the bus stopped, it just sort of went, like the engine went off. I don't know if the guy just turned it off or it just sort of seemed like the bus died. Right? And then I got off. I'm like, where am I? There's those vendor carts, and like I don't even know where I am. So overall, this has been quite a crazy day. And then to top it all off, very disturbing. And this is kind of a minor event, but kind of not. You know, I have an iPod. My iPod is the 20 gig iPod, whatever, fourth generation, I think. I don't know what generation it was, but I bought it in like I think in October, around October of 2004. So whatever one was out then, and I have my iSkin, the iSkin, which is a great product. It's a silicone rubber overlay skin that you put on it to protect it. And additionally, there's a little piece of clear plastic that you put over the screen, and it's sort of held in place by the silicone rubber. So this morning, I noticed, and this must have just happened, the screen is cracked. The iPod screen is cracked, and right there on the corner, like on the left, whatever, left or right side, whatever, because it's interchangeable, there's this little hairline fracture. The iPod screen has cracked. So I was very upset about that. Hold on, I'm trying to get my notes here. Ah! We're in little Brazil. Here on 46th Street. Ah! Look, across the street, a place I may be frequenting soon. Everything 99 cents or less. 99 cent dreams, yes. If I get laid off today, that will be the type of establishment I will be frequenting to buy my various food and toiletry products, I'm sure. So, a lot of chaotic stuff. The snow, the bus is being late, and I have to walk into work, and now who knows what's going to happen today? It's you never know what's going to happen today. Yeah, that was it, right? Yes. I got it. So, the podcasting meeting actually is at this office, area publicity, I think, and we went there last month. It was a really good place for a meeting, a podcast meetup, but it's really close to the Port Authority. So, if I feel confident about it, I'll go buy my monthly pass. If I don't, I'll go buy some individual tickets and do it like week by week. I don't know. This sucks. It really does, because everything's happening at once. Because I'm telling you, with this. The Anything But Monday show, that's like a big project that's getting going now. So everything sort of... What the hell? It's a kneeling bus. Anyway, I'm here on 5th Avenue. JR Cigars right there. The Barnes & Noble across the street. Build-A-Bear Workshop. And my favorite... I'm assuming they're... associated with the Build-A-Bear Workshop, we have, what is it? Friends to be made. It's like friends, and then just the number two and the capital B, made. Friends to be made, and it's like sort of like the Build-A-Bear Workshop, where you're making like little more humanoid little dolls, you know, like dolls of little girls or whatever that you're constructing. Friends to be made, you know. More, it sort of seems more and more as like that in Blade Runner. Of course, I got to mention Blade Runner again when the guy Sebastian. It's like, home again, Sebastian. Like, Sebastian's like this replicant maker. He has all these little, like, he makes all these weird little, like, living toys, like little living dolls. And that was a creepy scene, you know. But, yeah, that movie Blade Runner really is, like, it really is an important movie. Like, I often think of it. I haven't watched it in a long time, but I often think about Blade Runner and all of the themes that it explores and everything. What the hell is this? It's a new Starbucks? Yeah, look at this. 9 East 46th Street is a brand new Starbucks. I guarantee, yes, this has not been open before. Winter has got to come to this one. But yeah, like, Blade Runner, man, it's all the different themes about, you know, what it means to be alive. And also, of course, one of the most major things about it is I kind of feel, and I think other people feel, that that movie, which came out, what, 82? I don't know, somewhere around there, sort of started the dystopian future, because at least in popular culture, you know, when I was a little kid, I loved to go into, like, the Disney World, the Epcot Center, and it was a very bright, positive view of the future. We're going to have people living in space stations, we're going to have undersea bases, lots of great technology, flying cars, robots, things like that. And it was still, when I was a kid, 70s and again, early 80s, really positive view, like, the future's going to be great. It's going to kick ass. The future's going to kick ass. But as the 80s went on, and Blade Runner really presented a real dystopian, of course, which is the opposite of utopian, dystopian, a really bad view of the future. As a future that sucks, and it seems more and more, there is no more future like I had when I was a kid, man. It's like, wow, the future's just gonna suck. And it's a shame, you know, because obviously, you know, the future is always undetermined, but people's view of the future can actually help shape the future. So, but I guess our positive view of the future back then didn't help shape whatever. Nah, the world's okay, come on. We're still in a pretty good, like, a lot of the issues that are facing our world now in terms of it being bad are still, like, sort of like threats. Like, we have the environmentalist talking about this global warming and everything. It's still sort of yet to happen. Still sort of yet to have any real tangible results. And I personally am not a big proponent of that. I don't think that there's something fishy about that whole global warming thing. But anyway, you know, and also on another really serious side, and these are all kind of intertwined in a weird way, you know, the idea of freedom and that we're losing our freedoms and everything else with this Homeland Security and this stuff, which is true. The laws on the books and the presidential executive orders and stuff are all being sort of, it seems like they're all being laid out to sort of flip a switch and take people's freedom away, but it hasn't happened yet. So it's sort of weird that we're just sort of all waiting. I know that sort of in the same way, I'm like maybe a 5-minute walk from work now, so I'll be going to work and I'm going to be walking in. I don't know what I'm going to face there. I know if I get called into an office that it's over. But sort of that's the way we are in this world. Like, right now, I kind of feel like, hey, you know, we still got freedom. Like, look at this. Look what I'm doing. I'm podcasting. Anyone around the world can hear what I'm saying. Right now, I can say whatever I want. You know, people will hear it. That's pretty free. And me and Mad Mike are putting together this new Anything But Monday show. We're going to charge money for people to hear this show. It's going to be a great show. We're going to be able to say whatever we want. That is real freedom, you know. So the freedom is still there, but it does seem that with the next event, a terrorist attack or some big world event, that the laws are in place now for the president or the government to basically, with a stroke of a pen, really take all the freedoms away. And there's a lot of executive orders that have been signed over the past, I don't know, 10 or 20 years that have sort of set that up. So it is basically just, you sign one document and, legally speaking, the freedoms are temporarily, quote unquote, suspended, of course, that kind of thing. What is this? There's a magic marker on the street. What is it? Marks-a-lot. Sort of your classic black magic marker, a Marks-a-lot, just sitting there on a grate. Wow, that's odd. Anyway, that's what I have to say. So then I had the podcast meeting later, and of course I will update you on the situation. I'm just sort of resigned to it. I would love to be able to keep working here, and I hope it works out. I honestly don't know. Like I said, it's something that I feel like if I had to lay odds on it, I'd say that today I think I probably have somewhere in a 40% chance of getting laid off today. But when you project it out, like, to the whole month of February, I don't know. it's... I don't think I'm going to last through February at this place. I just think it's too slow, and they're not going to be able to keep everyone, and, you know... And I have a feeling that, you know, I'm one of the people that has been there the least amount of time, you know, whatever seniority, whatever you want to say, if that's a factor. So, anyway, I guess I won't air this until after I've been laid off. So if I survive for a while, you won't hear this. This will be like, this will be the special presentation after I've been laid off. Oh, I'm getting cold. It's freezing out here. My thighs are starting to sting again. It's so cold. But I will be there at work in, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes. I keep updating my estimate, but I'm here getting to Lex right now, so Lexington Avenue. Oh, boy. Cold, cold, cold. But yeah, the gloves and the zipping up the jacket definitely helped a lot. All right, so... I guess I will sign off, and I would imagine that if this is going to be presented on the show, which I'm saying I'm not going to put this on, and, you know, before I go, because people at work actually do listen. So, hello to everyone at work who's left. How you doing? Like I said, I love that place, and they know I really enjoy working there, and it's a great place. And I understand if there's, you know, hey, there's no work, there's no money coming in, you can't pay everyone, whatever. You know, it's a fair deal. I'm not saying anything about that. It's not. It's an unfortunate situation. There's no malice. There's nothing, obviously. You know, that's, you know, obviously very sincere and everything. So I just think it would be weird if I wasn't laid off. Someone hears me, it's like speculating about when I'm going to be laid off. So it's always a weird thing, like with this show, the sort of the balance of how to, you know, how much to talk about, how much not to talk about. But no, you got to keep things separate, keep it a little bit different. Oh, wow. I'm cold. I have to pee. I'm like, oh, I'm so uncomfortable, but I can see it. My corner is up there. We're almost there. Oh, all right. All right. Who knows what I'm facing? I don't know. There's a teriyaki boy. Haven't been there in a long time. Friggin' teriyaki boy. This place sucks. All right. Bye. Hey, it's 6:46 p.m., and it is still Wednesday, January 31st, 2007. I'm back in the Port Authority bus terminal. Yes, I came here to buy my monthly pass, and now I'm on my way to 9th Avenue, heading down to 38th Street, and going to the podcast meeting starting in about 15 minutes. So I did not get laid off today. Not really much information. Not much to know about. Nothing has really changed. So I still have to say that my estimation that I may have a week or two left at this place, and then it'll be over. I still think that. So obviously I cannot air this you may be hearing this, for the whatever the next show is, 578. You may be hearing it, and if you are, well, you know. You know what happens later. But, yeah, I mean, I believe that, I don't think so. But in the course of a few weeks, I do think so. I talked to Dave, of course, today, no longer from work. Dave, that'll be his name now. It'll be Dave, no longer from work. I don't know, man. So here we are. I'm going to a podcast meeting now. Last one was really good. So hopefully this one will be good too. Down 9th Avenue here. Whole different scene over here on 9th Avenue. Very different. Very different than 8th Avenue. Interesting to see the differences. A little bit of slush on the ground. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And definitely moving forward, the Anything But Monday show planned. Today, we're ordering some equipment. We're going to be getting the studio together. And very excited about this new project as well. I think at the podcast meeting tonight, they're going to be talking all about podcast advertising and everything like that. Which, is a model, podcast advertising is a model that I'm not particularly interested in. I think that the direct subscription model is going to wind up being the best model to use in general for doing a show and making money at it. Of course, everyone is still obsessed with advertising as the way to go. I don't think so because I don't think that there's going to be those mass numbers of any show to really support advertising. But at a decent subscription rate, you don't need massive numbers. You don't need insanely high numbers and hundreds of thousands or millions. You need, could be a very relatively small number, a couple thousand dedicated fans paying a bit of a larger monthly fee. You know, I'm not talking like $100 a month. We're talking, you know, whatever, a normal range. Like we're talking maybe $7.99 a month. That then could make something successful, and it's a win-win situation for everyone. For the listeners, they're more involved in something, and they're making something of much higher quality than they could otherwise exist. And, of course, for the creators, it's something where they can focus all their time and energy on it because it's there is a money involved. So I think it's a great thing, and it's more direct. There's no middleman. There's no roundabout ways. It is what it is. So anyway, I'm here on 38th Street going to the meeting, and I'll give you updates later. Like I said, this particular segment will not air on the show until the event has occurred of me getting laid off from my job, which it is remotely possible will never happen. Will not happen. You know, that I will survive. I don't really think that there's a great chance of that, but I would say that there is some chance of it. There you go. Bye.